It's time once again for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Dr. Tim Riley with the USU Eastern Prehistoric Museum. Lots of great things going on. It's a great place to go and visit. And you know what? We're going to finally be talking about a ribbon cutting for a visitor center there. They've got a great exhibit going on. And then a big event coming up on September 17th. And it is the 9 Mile Stewardship Day. We're going to talk about all of that in this interview today with Dr. Riley. Dr. Riley, thank you so much for coming in today.
Dave, always a pleasure.
So let's dive right in, and I always like to start these interviews. How are things going at the museum right now?
Yeah, things are great. We've sort of passed our peak visitation season at the end of the summer and everybody going back to school. But the students are coming back to USU Eastern, and we're thrilled to have that audience available to us as well, and everything's going really well. We've got a lot of really fun things happening currently at the museum, as well as some future plans.
And one of the things that you and I have been talking about now for, I don't want to say a year, but maybe it has been a year, is the moving of the visitor center to the museum, and that is finally ready to happen. In fact, you're going to have a ribbon cutting on September 14th. So let's talk about what kinds of things are going to be at the visitor center. It's kind of, we always have kind of referred to it as one-stop shopping, haven't we?
Right, and that's sort of the goal with the county and Price City and USU, was to bring the visitor center back to a more accessible location than where it currently is in the administration building over on 100 North there. So the goal was, and this, as you said, took a while in terms of getting everybody on the same page and getting agreement signed, was to build a visitor center in the lobby of the museum. So it's primarily on the south side of the lobby, and then there's a desk that will be occupied on the weekends with somebody to help visitors to the area understand all the fun stuff they can come do around here. But it's got some panels about the history of the area, the recreational opportunities of the area, as well as a number of pamphlets. There's one more element, which is a digital kiosk that's still out for order through the county, but it's been a lot of fun working with the county and specifically Tina Henry, their tourism expert, as well as the city and Mayor Mike and other individuals, as we move this forward and get this back to someplace where people can come in, learn about what to do in the area, and then if they have the time or the inclination, go in and see the prehistory of the area through the museum's exhibits.
And one of the great things that we've talked about in the past with them moving that location is one, most of the people that try and come to the museum or anything like that are like pulling trailers. They're in motorhomes, and now they have that parking available to them to go and do that. Plus, yeah, what better place to go in, find out some information, and then, you know what, check out our museum and see what all we've got going on here.
Right. It should really be beneficial to everybody involved. As you say, we've got a very big parking lot on the city property there that's got designated large vehicle parking spaces, whether it's a tour bus or whether it's a trailer being hauled by a truck or anything in between. And they just actually, the city just paved a lot more of that parking area over the summer. And so that area is going to be really useful for people coming in. It's easier for people to access. It's right there downtown. Hopefully people can come in and learn about some of the places to eat, some of the things to do, decide to tour the museum and learn about all the cool fossils and archaeological sites found in eastern Utah, and then walk over to a place downtown and get a bite to eat before they get back in their vehicle and head out to their campsite or take their ATVs up to a trailhead or whatever they might be doing.
As they head out for their Carbon County, Emery County adventure. Great idea.
That's right.
Great idea.
That's right.
So one of the great things that you guys have going on right now at the museum is you always bring in these great exhibits. And this one is a big one. It really is. We talked before we came on a little about, I've seen billboards for this one. You said there's even a couple of billboards or a billboard up on the Wasatch Front for this. And it's Horns and Tusks. And it actually is going to run, and is it till January, about the middle of January?
To the first part of January. It'll come down basically after the New Year's weekend. It'll start coming down. Yeah, and this has been a lot of fun. This is an exhibit we did with in collaboration with Rob Gaston, who's a paleo artist out of Fruta, Colorado. And he has casts and paleo art on display in many of the major museums around the country. Another one of his that we did about 5 years ago just was in the Carnegie up in Pennsylvania last year. called about armored animals. But this one's, as he said, is horns and tusks. It's about ceratopsian dinosaurs. Again, big words, but we can always break them down. Think about a triceratops. Ceratopsians are dinosaurs like that. They have these big frills on their head. Ceratopsians and the evolution of bizarre headgear. So about half of it's focused on ceratopsian dinosaurs. And the reason for that focus is that in the last 20 years or so, about five new species have been discovered primarily in the Grand Staircase Escalante area by the University of Utah, the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, as well as some other organizations. So we know a lot more about ceratopsians in Utah, and some of them are really, really cool. And so we've got a number of them from the what we call the basal, sort of the earliest or most primitive sort of style of ceratopsians, all the way through some of the more advanced ones like the Triceratops. And we've got some full body mounts, as well as some really engaging paleo art sculptures of them, as well as some other dinosaurs as well that have bizarre headgear. And then the other half of the exhibit is primarily devoted to mammals. It's got things like what a narwhal looks like. You know, I never knew this before this came in, but the unicorn horn of a narwhal is actually one of its two incisors that grows out in that shape, and the other incisor does not. It's got an Ice Age walrus. It's got an Irish elk mount, which is the biggest deer-like animal that we know of in the history of the world, as well as a bunch of other really cool stuff that people have been enjoying. And so it's been up for about 2 months, and it'll be up through the end of December, the first part of January, and we'd love for people to come down and see it. As you say, we've put up some billboards both here locally focused on some of the objects in there, as well as a digital billboard in Spanish Fork. So hopefully that's driving people.
And you've got, once again, you've got plenty of time to go see that, with it kind of taking its leave the first weekend in January, more or less, basically.
Right, that's correct.
So. All right, and before we get out of here, let's talk about a big one coming up September 17th. This is an annual event, and it's the 9 Mile Stewardship Day.
Right.
So what kind of things go on during Stewardship Day out at 9 Mile?
Yeah, it's the 9 Mile Canyon Stewardship Day. This is, I believe, its ninth year we've been doing this. And we're just one of the partner organizations involved, now run by 9 Mile Canyon Association. And they basically have dozens of professional archaeologists and sometimes student archaeologists out there at different sites up and down the canyon, pointing out what you're looking at, whether it's rock art, whether it's a pit structure that people lived in 1,000 years ago, whether it's some of the granaries and other ways they would have stored corn up in the high rises. A lot of us think about 9 Mile Canyon because of the rock art, and that's definitely a prominent feature. But there are masonry structures, there are cists, there are all sorts of other stuff up and down that canyon that people called their home from roughly about 750 AD till about 1300 AD, and we're farming in the bottoms of there and living all around that canyon. And so there's a lot of evidence of these past lifeways. And of course, we also have the historic period, some of the great stone and wood homes that are still there today, some of the Axe of Grease inscriptions from Buffalo soldiers and others, and the 9 Mile Canyon Settlers Association will be out there. And effectively, you'll come in tonight. It's a great time to visit 9 Mile Canyon. Everything's free, unless you decide to buy food, or some of the vendors might have items for sale. But at 9 Mile Ranch, the Meads Ranch there, there'll be a number of activities you can do. You can make your own pilling figurine. You can grind corn on a metate. You can maybe throw an atlatl. It depends on the activities. There'll be vendors there selling various arts and crafts and artisanal creations, jewelry and other stuff like that. And then there'll be a dinner there that evening, as well as some entertainment. And then as you drive up and down the canyon, there'll be flagged sites that have professional archaeologists at them that you can stop at and learn more about 9 Mile Canyon. So if you've never been, it's a great time to get out there. If you've been before and were a little underwhelmed because you were going 40 and didn't slow down to enjoy the rock art as much as you could, there's really more out there than anybody can see in a day. This is a good time to go and have people direct you at what to look for. So it's a really good time to come out and explore 9 Mile Canyon on that Saturday. And we're actually doing an additional thing here at the museum, although I'll be out there in 9 Mile Canyon along with some of the museum staff. We had a really good year this last fiscal year. We're a state entity, so we run from July through June, and it was our best year of visitation probably ever, at least in terms of our records. And so we wanted to thank everybody who's come out over the last year or so and visit the museum. And so we're making that whole weekend a free weekend. So anybody who comes into the museum that Saturday, September 17th, or that Sunday, September 18th, will be admitted to the museum for free. You'll get to see horns and tusks. If you're worried about the cost to come in and see it, you can come see it that weekend for free. And so I would encourage you to come into the museum, spend a little bit of time exploring the archaeology and paleontology of eastern Utah, and then head out to 9 Mile Canyon to get a little bit more in-depth dive on the landscape these people called their home.
And that's coming up the weekend of the 17th and 18th. So lots of things going on at the museum. If anybody has any questions, what's the number down there they can call and kind of get some information
sure,
from you?
Sure, they can call 435-613-5290. Or they can send me an email at tim.riley, R-I-L-E-Y, at usu.edu. Or you can check us out on our social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And one of the most amazing things that I always talk about is if you Google Prehistoric Museum, USU Eastern Museum is the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, we're the top one. That's true. Yeah,
so. I don't know how you worked that out, but good job on that one.
We're good friends with that now, yeah. So.
All right. Once again, Dr. Tim Riley with the USU Prehistoric Museum. So many great things going on. Get on out there and visit. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, we can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com. And listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.